Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. I'm here to let you know, Stephen Belair, who's holding on, your call, I see what it's about, is going to become a shovel. Not to you, but to the guy that you want to talk about. Ed Norris, who's your shovel to?
27-year-old woman who left something behind on a bus. Yep. Well, it's actually happened in New Zealand, but this just happened. This story from yesterday. The bus driver makes a routine stop, a scheduled stop, in a Northland town in that country. Anyway, somebody asked him to just get a bag down for her, and would he mind? So the driver opens up the overhead baggage compartment. He sees a bag, and it's not the one the woman wanted, but the one in the compartment is moving. He opens up the bag, pulls the bag down. He opens it up. There's a 2-year-old girl in the bag. Yes. This woman, 27-year-old woman, unnamed for whatever reason. Her name was not released. She's arrested. She left the child on the bus.
She doesn't need a shovel. She needs cuffs.
Well, she got cuffs. She got, yeah, she got cuffs, yes. She did. And it really sucks because she clearly intended to do this. She puts the kid in the overhead. And it seems like you're trying to save money because for that age, they travel free anyway.
Uh-huh.
They travel free on the bus. She just abandoned the kid on the bus. I can't, and I'm sure you, as parents, you would jump in front of a train to protect your kid.
That's right.
Never mind. Just take your child, put him in a duffel bag or whatever. Put them in the overhead and leave. No idea what happens to your child.
And you know why the child doesn't fight it? Because they trust you.
That's right. Yeah.
Whatever you told them,
yeah,
they trust you.
Yeah, we're going to play a game. I'm going to put you up here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They trust you, man.
Yeah. So this woman, I don't know what happens to her. She's charged with the obvious ill treatment, neglect of a child. But it's just like, what a horrible, horrible human being you are. Anyway.
For the life of me, sometimes I just don't understand people and their thinking. My shovel goes to the people who are comparing the attendance of the Savannah Bananas to the attendance of the Baltimore Orioles. People, you're smarter than this, aren't you? Let's go about some things. The Savannah Bananas played 2 games here at Camden Yards. Yeah. Let them play 81 home games and see how many times they sell out. The Savannah Bananas are a spectacle.
They're the Globetrotters.
And they do a great job at being that. So that's why they sold out. I got news for you. The Braves-Reds game sold out at a racetrack. Why? Because it was a spectacle. The Savannah Bananas are a show. It's not a baseball game. I'll give you an example. If the Baltimore Orioles outfielder did a backflip before he caught a ball and dropped the ball, you'd want that guy cut on sight. If a Savannah Banana outfielder does that and drops the ball, you applaud the effort because you understand it's a show. If a Baltimore Oriole batter fouled a ball in the stands and a fan caught it and it was an out, you'd storm the field. You expect that in a Savannah Banana game because it's part of the game. This is no comparison, folks.
I know.
There's no comparison whatsoever. Are you that detached from reality that you don't understand? I got one more. Joe, can I get another shovel, please? Shovel to the people who claim you don't go to games because of the crime downtown Baltimore.
Yes.
The majority of the people go to Savannah Banana games take who?
Kids.
So now Baltimore on Friday and Saturday wasn't dangerous.
No.
Because you took your kids to downtown Baltimore for night games and you claim that's why you don't go.
That's
stop it,
crime
folks.
Crime takes a night off on Friday.
Stop. Can you please stop with the BS? That's all I ask.
Yeah.
Be real.
Your question's very on point because if the Harlem Globetrotters played 41 home games like the NBA, how many would you go to?
Exactly.
You go to one.
This is so silly. I didn't even respond on social media. I had so many people reach. I'm like, I'm not responding to you because I got something for you Monday.
Yeah.
They played 2 games. 2 games. Who won? You don't care. There's no standings for them. That's it's exhibition.
Yeah.
They had Adam Jones come from out of his sheet like James Brown. And it's for the people who love it, it's great entertainment. I'm not dogging the Savannah Bananas. They do a great job. They do a phenomenal job of promoting and executing. But to sit here and actually compare them to 81 home games of the Baltimore Orioles, you are detached from reality. You are.
It's ridiculous. It really is. It's and I did hear, because I know somebody who had tickets, his wife said, do you want to go? He's absolutely not. Standing room only. There was standing room tickets.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Wow.
And it should be.
Yeah.
Let's go to Steve in Bel Air. Steve, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. You guys still got me with, Ed still got me with the child in the bag. I told my granddaughter yesterday, and I'll get to my thing on baseball. I told her yesterday, I said, love needs action. Trust needs proof.
Yeah.
And sorry needs change.
Huh.
And that mom, I don't know.
Yeah.
That mom, it just blows my mind. But guys, I go back to April 15th, 1954, just to give you a perspective, the first Oreo game. I was there. Uncle took me. I've only seen the ball drop, I don't even remember, a couple times. I think McKenna.
Yeah, he dropped one in Boston.
Boston game.
Yeah, in Boston, didn't he? Mm-hmm. I think that was Bucks, one of Bucks' guys he liked a lot. He dropped one. Okay. But the guy in right field yesterday... Okay, he dropped one. What bothered me was that he had his sunglasses
on his hat. Yep.
On his hat. Yeah. Yeah, Rob, you saw it.
Yeah,
he
I did.
On his hat. Wait a minute. We got a manager and 10 coaches in the dugout, and nobody, you know, Earl Weaver and or Frank Robinson would have reamed him out. Would have reamed him out. Billy Martin.
Real quick,
Billy
Steve.
Martin
real. Real quick, Steve, just to correct you on that, Ryan McKenna did not play for Buck. He played here 21 through 23. He did not play for Buck. And no manager or coach is going to tell a major league player to put his glasses on his face. Mm-hmm. It's not Little League. It's not high school. They're not going to tell. It was a crazy thing. I saw that in the College World Series
McKenna
game.
McKenna was also an outstanding defensive player.
Yeah, he made a bad play.
He was just a bad play.
I mean, But I saw the same thing in the College World Series game a couple of years ago. Outfielder battling the sun in left field with his glasses on top of his head. And after that play, he still didn't put his glasses on.
Mm-hmm.
Chris in Parkville, what's your shovel, man?
Gentlemen.
What?
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I have two examples if you could bear with me. But my shovel goes to the leadership city of Baltimore, creating all these bike lanes. And that's my first example. My second is all these speed bumps in the neighborhoods, instead of using the same product to fix the main arteries that lead in and out of the city.
Hey, Chris, thanks a lot, my man. Appreciate you. The bike lanes are becoming a little annoying.
Yeah, in a city, it's just going to go on and on. These are old cities, these East Coast cities. Baltimore, New York, Philadelphia, pick one. The streets were not made for today. So, you know, making them smaller just makes it more dangerous for everybody to be creating bike lanes. I'm sorry.
Well, you already have traffic. It's already congested in those areas.
They're congested. These are small streets for the most part.
You're not carving off sidewalk.
Right.
to create a bike lane. You're carving off street.
Yeah.
To create a bike lane. That's backwards to me. By the way, can somebody explain to me why there's always an extreme amount of traffic up between exit 74 and 80 on I-95 on odd times, Saturday morning? It is bumper to bumper.
Really?
Yes, going north from exit 74 to 80.
I don't
it's
know.
Become an issue for me now. it started to bother me now. I don't know. 410-583-1057 is the number. I'm going home, or I'm trying to get on I-95 headed south, and I can't because it's bumper to bumper. Sometimes it goes either way, south, north. It's random. I have no idea why there's so much traffic and congestion in that area. Ryan Ripken joins us at 7:45, but on the other side, we're talking Ravens. Tyler Loop is the only kicker on the roster after the Ravens waived John Hoyland. Are you concerned? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Pass that test with flying colors. That's an A++++. on to the next one, you know. So happy for him, and just for him to get through that and now know, hey, you know you can do it, you know, and you know how to do it, just like that. And that's the kind of guy. He's not surprised, but certainly very happy.
That sounds like a ringing endorsement to me for the kicker, Tyler Loop, who is now, Ed, the only kicker on the roster. Two things. Well, actually, one big thing stands out to me. They never go through camp or the preseason with one kicker, do they? They want one kicker doing all those kicks?
Right, even with when he was here, just Tucker, they would always carry other kickers.
Yeah.
And then, you know, either, you know, release them, trade them. The guy that got, you know, mugged downtown, they had to turn that into a real player. They usually carry more than one. But to me, that's a real, you know, that's a real vote of confidence. They just let the other kicker go and keep him for the rest of camp. So it must mean they're very confident.
Now, Vinny Serrato talked about him missing some kicks. I think it was Thursday. Mm-hmm. He talked about it on Friday, which means he must have missed the kicks on Thursday. Do you think maybe this is one of those moves with Harbaugh saying, you know what, I think there's a lot of too much pressure on him. He's going to have enough pressure with a game start. Let me let him be the guy in practice.
I think you're right. Because I say he's replacing maybe the greatest kicker in the history of football. That's a tremendous amount of pressure there. And now he's going to have competition for his job. I think maybe just say, you're right. Just know, you got the job. We have confidence in you. Now just concentrate on your craft. I think that it's probably a good idea.
Now, I'm not surprised that, you know, he's going to be the guy. When you draft a kicker, folks, that's your guy. He's not a free agent that he picked. They used a draft pick for it. Now, true, they had five, six-round picks. But they used one of those, the second of the six-round picks, on a kicker.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's going to be your guy. You don't waste a pick on a kicker.
No, you don't. So it's highly unusual, actually. Because even Justin Tucker he was a walk-on. They didn't draft him.
Yeah, he's undrafted free agent.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's kind of cool that they, you know, cool. Necessary because of what happened. So now you draft a kicker, and it turns out, it sounds like he was impressive. He made like 10 field goals and 156 and 160.
Uh-huh.
So he can do it. We'll see what happens, you know, when the crowd's screaming at Buffalo, wherever it happens to make his first kick.
Now, to be honest with you, I'm not worried about it. You know me. I'm not mm-hmm. worried about it. I don't really think it's that big of a deal. I think Justin Tucker, like you said, is the best that ever did it. I'm not questioning that at all. But at the end of the day, it's a kicker. You got to move on. Turn the page. Get him in here. Got to grow up eventually.
Yeah.
If our whole season comes down to how kicker performed, we're in trouble.
You got a problem there, yes.
We're in trouble.
I'm with you. I always felt that was, you can't do it. If that's the issue, then we got problems. If you're going to rely on a kicker to win every game for you,
Let's go down to Baltimore and get Mark. Mike, what's up, Mike?
Hey, Rob. Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
To your point about Loop, so before practice yesterday, the Jerry Sandusky announced that they were going to do we're going to need all the crowd noise we can to get Loop prepared for game day situations, and then before every kick he did, he would come back on and remind the crowd, hey, we need you to be as loud as you can because we want to put him under pressure so he knows what the game day feeling is going to be like.
Well, I think it's a good idea. I think that was, you know, Ravens' design.
Yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, it's not like what I don't quite understand is when people say these things, and I get it, and they do this. But, like, these guys come from, you know.
Major schools.
Yes, they're playing.
Major schools.
Major schools. You know, they're under a lot of pressure. I mean, granted, he played for Arizona, was an SC. But still, I mean, it's D1 football. You're playing real, you know, schools, Oklahoma State and Houston and Kansas and Cincinnati. I mean, this is D1 football. The crowds are huge. It's like, I think
it's major Division I football.
Yeah.
He plays on television all the time. Yeah. You know, I get it. I remember the comment about J.K. Dobbins. Someone said, you know, I'm happy to see him, but I've I want to see what he does in front of a big crowd. He played in front of 100,000 people where he played.
All the time.
What are you talking about?
Yes.
What are you actually talking about? I mean, I'm worried about who he's facing, not the crowd. I don't even care less about the crowd. It's who he's facing.
Yeah.
The situation in and of itself. East Baltimore, Larry. What's up, Larry?
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Doing well. How you doing, Larry?
I think the kicker from Arizona is going to be all right. But it's one thing I want to ask y'all. Y'all think Tucker ever kick in the NFL again?
Yeah.
Have
a nice
day. Yeah, he will. He will, because he has history. And the NFL is the most forgiving league in all of sports.
Yeah.
You are an animal until we need you.
Yeah.
That's how the NFL works. This guy is unbelievable. I can't believe. And you know what? Don't blame the NFL, because you, the fans, are the same way.
Mm-hmm.
If a guy committed a crime today and you had your opinion about him, but he plays a position that you need by week 14, you want to know why we didn't sign him. That's how the league is, the league and the fan base, the most forgiving people there are. It's all your disgust of a person is only based on your need for the position.
100%. Absolutely. And I could picture it even here. I don't care who, if there was a position the Ravens needed and the guy was really a dubious character that, it's been well documented, like, we need a dog. I don't care.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, how do you know he really did it?
Yes. I want to see the body cam footage.
Well, who's the pitcher that the Orioles fans always ask about? Trevor Bauer.
Trevor Bauer, yeah.
Why won't they go get Trevor Bauer? Well, because there's a reason no one's getting him. Well, how do you know he really did it? There's a reason no one's getting him. There's a reason that no one's touching him. They know something. Let's go to Trippy in Baltimore. What's up, Trippy?
Hey, hello. What's up, Ed?
What's happening, man?
Yeah, I ain't got no rap for Rob, man. He can't reply to my text messages, but
Do you act like you're my woman? I don't have to reply to your text messages, dude. I ain't seeing you tonight, man. What's on your mind? You get butthurt over a response to a text message? What man does that? But go ahead.
On the Savannahs, man, like, to be honest.
It's Raven talk.
I know, but when the last time you saw Camden Yards like that? That was my question. But
it's an exhibition game, man. I'm not hating on the Savannah Bananas. I'm hating on the people that try to compare it to an 81-game schedule of the Baltimore Orioles. It's a dumb comparison.
Look good yesterday, man. Everybody looked good, man. I just feel like it'll be healthy, man. And to y'all Ravens fans, I sent y'all feelings. I made a tweet the other day. I said Ravens need to win the Super Bowl so these fans can, shut the.
I agree.
Agreed. It's like, it's true, though.
Agreed.
What I mean? Like, let's just get it done. Like, I'm not just talking about Ravens fans. I mean, if they feel some type of way, it is what it is.
Let me ask you this, Trippy. What do you think the offseason will be if they don't win it?
I mean, the same sugar, honey, iced tea. Oh, fire John Harbaugh. It's Harbaugh. It's Harbaugh, EDC, this and that. Why? Like, it's the same thing. Like, at the end of the day, the players got to go out there and execute. It don't matter what play is called. You know what I mean? So let's see what Mike Green got.
Hey Trippy.
Trippy. One more thing, right?
You just scared everybody when you
get Michael Parsons.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying, get Michael Parsons. And then if we get Michael Parsons, y'all going to be crying if Kyle Hamilton don't sign back and all them. We don't need Michael Parsons. To be honest with you, I think we got our Michael Parsons. Number 45, Mike Green.
Hey, Trippy. You scared everybody when you said that. You know that, right?
What you mean?
When you said the sugar, honey, iced tea, everybody jumped.
Oh, no, come on, man. Hey, you know, from last time when y'all said I cussed and I went back and listened to it, I ain't heard, but, I know how I run it.
I didn't, for the record, I didn't jump, but yeah, no, I got nervous.
Hey, man, y'all enjoy y'all Monday.
All right, all right. See ya. You enjoy it.
You saw.
I saw. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ryan Ripken joins us at 7:45. But Trippy started it, we'll finish it. Should the Ravens target Micah Parsons? He wants out of Texas. Should we go get him? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. So the Dallas Cowboys and Micah Parsons seem to be worlds apart on this whole extension thing, Ed Norris.
Yeah, you're going to criticize your athlete publicly because he had health issues. It's not a good start.
Well, that's not the only thing.
No.
So if you didn't hear this one, Jerry Jones went and said, the contract negotiation between he and Roc Nation was the reason, one of the reasons that he doesn't want to negotiate with Michael Parsons' agent. Now, you would think, okay, so what made me read this is because I didn't know Michael Parsons was represented by Roc Nation. Right? That doesn't make sense. If mm-hmm. I don't want to talk to you, if I don't want to talk to your agent
mm-hmm.
because my experience with Roc Nation and Jay-Z
right.
wasn't good with Dez Bryant, that would lead you to think that Michael Parsons is with Roc Nation.
Yes.
He's not. He was Athletes First. Why do you bring up Roc Nation and something that happened 10 years ago
and dealing with Michael Parsons? Different agent.
Different decade.
Different decade, different agent, different player.
What are you talking about, man? So I remember when Jay-Z said that Dez Bryant would be at every function. He would not miss anything. Mm-hmm. And when Dez Bryant missed those things, I called Jay-Z and he didn't respond to my messages. He didn't answer my calls. That's why I don't want to talk to Michael Parsons' agent. It ain't Jay-Z. It's not even the same company. What on earth are you talking about? Ed, I swear, man, when I saw the headlines, I'm like, man, I didn't know Michael Parsons was with them. He's not.
He's not.
Yeah. So something's wrong with that man. Something's very wrong with that man. Could somebody please check on Jerry Jones, please? Somebody please? Joe, can you go check on Mr. Jones?
He changed his diaper or something.
That made no sense. So fast forward. I agree with Trippy, and I hate saying that to my soul. I agree with Trippy 100%. I don't want Michael Parsons, man. I'm good. Because you're going to have to pay him a lot of money.
A ton of money. Ton of money.
And there are a lot of other pieces that you can have. You can win the Super Bowl without Michael Parsons. Do we agree to that?
Yeah.
Okay, so why sign
him?
Why sign him? I'm good. I mean, just keep it moving. And I also agree, you got Mike Green, man.
I can't wait to see this guy play.
Me either.
I really can't.
You have your possible Michael Parsons and Mike Green.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. I mean, for real. Like, he may be the next Michael Parsons. You know, he's so highly thought of and obviously dropped for the obvious reasons. I'm excited to see what he can do because he may be the first real, like, pure pass rusher we've had maybe since Suggs.
A lot of people are saying that.
Yeah.
There are lots of people, a lot of experts that I trust are saying that. That's an assessment that I would tell you up front I can't make.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just being honest with you. I saw him a little bit in college. You know where he went to school. I didn't see him a ton. Yeah. Saw him a little bit in college. I saw his workout. I fell in love with him. But to compare him to a former NFL great, I don't know enough about him to do that. But when I hear so many experts say you may have your best pure pass rusher since a guy who I think is going to end up in the Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
that makes me happy.
Yeah, me too.
It intrigues me enough to not want anything to do with Micah Parsons.
I hate to say it. I am so excited for this season. I don't want to set myself up a big disappointment, but they have so much talent now. And they had it. I mean, they've had it, and they just added to it. And like, gosh, if they just stay healthy, then let's play the games. I don't care how tough the schedule is. They can beat anybody with this roster.
I love the fact that the schedule starts off tough.
Me too.
Because that means they had to come in from day one focus.
Yes. And that's what, remember, it was Kyle Van Noy said it. I think he started slow. We got to come out fast this year. You do. Look who you're facing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to be like, 2-4 in your first six.
Now that I have your attention, you got my attention early.
Yeah.
Because, we got this person. We got this team. Oh, we got a bunch of bums to start the season off with. And now in week three, week four, you got to face the Bills. No, you come out with the Bills. Sort of like last year. You come out with it. That's 2 years in a row. They start the season on the road against the team they lost to in the postseason.
Yeah.
Last year was the Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
That was the Isaiah Likely toe game.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They only wore white cleats.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Let's go to Joe and Arbutus. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Good morning. You was talking about possibly the Ravens get Michael Parsons. I would love to have him as a Raven, but I don't, there's no way we could afford him, you know, with all the salaries. Redoing Lamar, and, you know, we got all these guys that we got to get signed, and there's no way we could afford him, I don't think. But I also wanted to talk to you guys about the practice I went to. My son and I went to it yesterday, and we really had a good time. When we walked up, we was right by where the players park and was walking in, and, oh, my goodness, Henry is a monster, Rob.
You got us that guy in person, yeah.
He is a monster. And I really think that this is the year that Lamar is going to play in the playoffs like he does in the regular season, because I know you guys agree with this. The past 2 years, Lamar Jackson's been the best player in the NFL during the regular season.
Yeah.
And if he does plays like that in the playoffs, the Ravens should win the Super Bowl. I believe that between us and Philly, we got the best rosters in the league.
I agree with that too, Joe. Thanks a lot. And this is the time I wish Jeremy was here, when I would remind him that he didn't win the MVP last year to get Jeremy started. Jeremy, if you're home listening, he didn't win the MVP last year.
I think we have time.
Steve in Centerville. What's up, Steve?
What's up, fellas? Good morning.
Good morning.
We don't need Parsons. We got enough, I think. We should try for a bargain instead or do something else. The kicker question I have, and Rob, you've been out there, you guys have been out there. Are they over-engineering this? Like, oh, I've got a special teams kicker specialty crowd noise job that I need to protect, so let's invent a problem. And then, oddly, Jerry Jones. At what point is he damaging the brand and the
already
rest of the owners say,
already?
You know,
oh, he's damaging. He's P.T. Barnum, Steve. As long as they're selling out and printing money, he's good to go. I don't think Jerry Jones is really as concerned about winning as he claims. I think he is P.T. Barnum, in my opinion. He wants to win, but as long as I'm profitable, super profitable, selling that place out, I'm good.
Yeah. And to answer your other question about over-engineering the kick, just so you know, they pipe in loud crowd noise. They play all kinds of crazy metal, you know, heavy metal music sometimes. They'll do all kinds of things to put people under pressure. So it's not unusual. So don't, you know, just what you heard earlier about people saying, you know, get the crowd going. They do it all the time.
Commissions Baltimore at 8:15, but on the other side, we're talking some baseball, Orioles baseball, with Ryan Ripken on the Fan. 7:47 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn is out on medical leave. Joining us right now, courtesy of the Window Nation guest hotline, he is Ryan Ripken. What's going on with you, Ryan?
Hey, good morning. How we doing this Monday?
Doing well, Ryan. Doing well, man. The Baltimore Orioles 3-game series against the Chicago Cubs. Now, we're not in the business of just being competitive. This is not high school and Division III college. This is, which they're not in the business of that either. This is win baseball. But I got to be honest with you. This series was very competitive. The Orioles had a chance to win each game, especially the last two.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this team, regardless of what they did, the deadline, you know, even for the whole year, you know, this team has talent. And also, I always felt, right, and I feel like a lot of people could relate to it as well, when you feel like people then are looking down on you more, that, oh, well, this team, they lost all these guys, they're packing it in. The players aren't going to pack it in.
No.
You know, they're going to continue to go out there and compete. And, you know, that's probably the part when you look at this, is that the Orioles can go out there, and in the game of baseball, especially in the bigs, you can go and compete, you know, each and every night with the best or the worst in the league, and anything can happen. But for the Orioles, yep, they had a chance, but also kind of a microcosm of what's been happening, at least in the finale, not playing a clean game, you know. Fundamentally, those are a little couple things that ended up being a difference, you know, and then the Cubs make the big play here and there, and they walk it off. But, you know, this is still extremely valuable for the Orioles, yeah. Regardless of how this finishes out this year. A lot of players are going to learn a lot, not just about themselves, but it's dealing with your backs against the wall and knowing that, this team lost some key pieces that definitely are going to open up some opportunities.
We knew, right, that these were kind of the names you're going to see gone, and big flurry of trades. All the people you expected to go, I think, are gone. The return for me is kind of a no. How do you look at this? You know a lot of these guys from, you know, playing with or against them. How do you rate this series of trades?
Well, I'll say there was no trade that surprised me. You know, I think that all the names that ended up getting moved were like, yeah, okay, that's kind of what you thought, what could happen, expiring contracts. You know, the only ones that were maybe more surprising to some people, to me, was that Brian Baker went to the Rays, that they said, hey, we're going to give you the 37th overall pick. You know, I don't think anyone expected that. But and then, you know, Ramon Laureano, you knew it was going to have to take something that was going to entice the Orioles. And it did. You know, they got a haul back from the Padres. And, you know, the reality is here, we don't know what's going to happen when you pick up prospects. You just don't. But you do have to trust your scouting that if it hits and you identify the right players, that they can make a lasting impact down the road. And I still look back to this one real quickly. Is, you know, there's so many more of these trades. You know, the Juan Soto trade, which is a bigger player in this case, right? Like, superstar. But the Nationals got three all-stars out of that already in that deal. James Wood, C.J. Abrams, Mackenzie Gore. One name where he wasn't an elite prospect yet goes back to like 2016. I believe it's 2016. And the White Sox made a trade in before the deadline. This is like even in June. And then went, you know what, we need to get better pitching. So they acquired James Shields.
Yep.
And in the report, they go, you know, the big prospect that they got was not an elite prospect. But they hoped that he could turn out. And we'll see how he develops. But he has good bat-to-ball skills. That player that the Padres ended up getting from the White Sox was Fernando Tatis Jr. So, like, that's the example. So you're hoping for the Orioles here that the haul that they get back, some of these guys pan out. And I like some of them, but we're just really not going to know, you know, over the next, you know, 2 to 3 years.
Here with Ryan Ripken talking some baseball. Ryan, yesterday Brandon Young on the mound. He went 4 2/3 innings, giving up 2 runs, none of them earned, 5 hits. I don't know what to think of him. His last 4 outings, he's only gotten out of the 5th inning once. In one of those outings, 4 1/3 innings, he's gave up 7 earned runs. Kind of a mixed bag with him. Your thoughts on what you've seen so far from Brandon Young?
Yeah, I mean, there are moments where you sit there and go, yep, I see exactly, you know, what he can be. In other moments, you go, well, I haven't seen enough of those good moments, and I wouldn't say doubts, but you still have to go out there and prove it. You know, there's still a lot to prove to be a big league starter. Now, this goes back to the fundamental part for the Orioles, though, right? A young pitcher needs to go out there. You need to try to help him out as much as you can. Now, not perfect, but off the jump, you know, there's an error, right? So when this happens for guys and you're making the young guys work, and yes, I'm all about that you got to work through adversity, but that's to get confidence for young guys, you need to try to help them out as much as you can defensively. Because, you know, it looks way different if at 4 2/3, you get one more out and you're at 5 and you're looking at 5 innings pitched and no earned runs. It even changes the perception in people's minds, right? You go, wow, okay, he went 5. He has a chance to technically win the game, you know, or being the pitcher of winning record for the game, right, if you get to complete 5 innings. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for him for the opportunity, but a combination of the defense, your team needs to help you out more. And for Brandon, the big thing for him down the stretch, because he's going to have chances, is how do I continue to adapt in the big leagues? What do you learn? How do you continue to work on your control? And that was supposed to be his MO. Work both sides of the plate, have control, and be effective. So luckily, though, he's going to have more chances to do this, and we're going to continue to see if he's going to be a piece that factors in here, you know, beyond this 2025 season.
Hey, Ryan, Mike Elias made a public apology about the season, kind of explained what's going on, but apologized to the fans. Do you think that was necessary?
I think it's always, well, I think people, I always like when people say, hey, you know what, I take responsibility, I'm sorry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But do our fans really going to care? Probably not, because they, if the team doesn't win, they're going to say, well, it doesn't matter, you're still at fault, you know?
Right.
But I want to give credit to Michael Elias on that, you know? Not everyone likes to sit up there and take the brunt of it. But when you're in baseball and you're a GM or you're a manager or you're in a position of higher power, I always appreciated when those people were out more open talking about it. And look, it hasn't been pretty this year. It's been frustrating. But also, I want to reemphasize this. They want to bring a World Series here as much as anybody. Whether you agree with how they've done things or what moves that they've brought in, you know, people are quick to forget, you know, the last 3 years for the Baltimore Orioles saw them have the most wins in the American League over that time. They're trying to build the product that's making the team proud, and this was a really, really rough year. But it's not just going to be on with Mike Elias anymore. It's a collective thing with this organization that they got to figure out how to fix it. And they deserve to fix it, right? Now we're going to have to see is how does this team collectively, organization collectively, bounce back. You know, and 2026 is going to be a big year. But I give Mike credit. You know, I always like people taking accountability. I think that's a good thing. And he's saying, hey, I'm sorry, because you know what? My fingerprints are on this, and I know this disappointed a lot of people. But, you know, actions are going to speak louder than words, and I think people are going to see what happens here in 2026. That's just the reality of this business.
There he is, Ryan Ripken. Ryan, when will we hear you for the rest of the week?
I'll be popping on there, 105.7. Baltimore Baseball tonight. I'll be on Friday with Bob Haney, Ripken with Ryan. And, yeah, that's about it.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Always good talking baseball.
Yeah, man.
Have a great week.
You too. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Mike Borda joins us at 8:45. But on the other side, the Savannah Bananas sell out the yard over the weekend. Is that more of an indictment on the Orioles or a testament for them? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.